Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
On today's broadcast, we want to examine how the Apostle Paul exercised the authority that was given to him by God. We are referring, of course, to the apostolic authority that he calls attention to in his opening words of the Colossian epistle when he says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are in Colossae. In this epistle, as in several of his others, he calls attention to his apostolic office, which is to say his apostolic authority. And we have been examining the whole issue of God-ordained authority over the last several broadcasts, how that leadership is indeed established by the will of God and is particularly described for us in Scripture in four areas, namely the home, civil government, the workplace, and the church. Paul's apostolic authority was exercised within the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in all of these four areas, the Bible gives us instructions both to those who have authority as well as those who are under authority. And all of us would be well served to study those biblical passages very carefully as they apply to ourselves more than as they apply to others. For it is that latter tendency that often gets us into trouble. But today we want to look at the Apostle Paul as an example of godly biblical leadership, and we will note both examples of the gentleness of Paul as well as the forcefulness of Paul, because both are given to us in the Word of God. So thank you for joining me on this Friday, August 28th. And many thanks to those radio listeners whose financial gifts keep us teaching God's Word on this station. Well, in regard to the gentleness of Paul and how he exercised leadership, let's consider for a moment the book of Philemon. Philemon is a personal epistle written by Paul to a slave owner by the name of Philemon in the city of Colossae, and he is appealing to him to receive back his runaway slave, Onesimus, who had run away to Rome, had come into contact with the Apostle Paul, had come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, had stayed in Rome for a while to be taught and mentored by Paul, but is now being sent back to his master Philemon in order to make things right, because he had stolen from his master when he ran away from him. And so here's what we read in Philemon verses 8 and 9. Paul says, therefore, though I might be very bold in Christ to command you what is fitting, yet for love's sake I rather appeal to you, being such a one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten while in my chains. What is Paul doing? He is saying, though I could command you because I have the authority to do it, I could command you as an apostle of Jesus Christ. Nevertheless, I'm not going to do it. Instead, I'm going to appeal to you. Why would Paul do that? Because you have authority doesn't mean that you ought to automatically and necessarily exercise that authority to its fullest extent. And Paul's a good example of that. Could he command Philemon? Paul, who was an apostle of Jesus Christ? Yes, he could. And if he did, would Philemon be obligated to submit to that command? Yes, he would, because apostles had authority over everybody in the church, over all the churches, over all the members of the churches. They had really extensive God-given authority. But just because you have it doesn't mean that you ought to always exercise it. There are many occasions when it would be wiser, more God-honoring, more effective, more spiritual, to not exercise the full extent of the authority that has been given to you. Or notice the gentleness of the Apostle Paul as described in 1 Thessalonians 2, 6 and 7, where Paul says, "Nor did we seek glory from men, either from you or from others, when we might have made demands as apostles of Christ, but we were gentle among you, just as a nursing mother cherishes her own children." Same idea again, but now in a different setting. Paul says, I have authority as an apostle. I could exercise it. I could command you. I could force you. I could require you to submit to my apostolic authority, but I didn't. He's describing his activity, his ministry among them when he was there. He was there a long time, relatively speaking, long enough to get a church established, to see a number of people saved, and to begin establishing a church. He was there for a long time, but he says, we were gentle among you, just as a nursing mother cherishes her own children. Think of that picture, a mother with a very young baby, nursing that baby. How does she relate to that baby? Well, she doesn't slam the baby around. She doesn't yell at the baby. She doesn't exercise her authority as a mother over a child with parental authority over that child, but she cradles the child. She speaks quietly and soothingly to the child. She sings lullabies to the child. She kisses the child, smothers the child with kisses. She deals with that child in a very gentle way. And Paul said, that's the way I behaved when I was with you. That's the way I exercised my apostolic authority, not with power and force and command and demand, but with gentleness, with persuasion, with meekness, humility, with a Christ-like humility. That's how Paul exercised his authority, the gentleness of Paul. But is that the way Paul always exercised his authority? No. There are other occasions when he was extremely forceful. Think of that occasion with Peter in Galatians chapter 2, verse 11. Now when Peter had come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face because he was to be blamed. For before certain men came from James, he would eat with the Gentiles, but when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those who were of the circumcision, and the rest of the Jews also played the hypocrite with him, so that even Barnabas was carried away with their hypocrisy. But when I saw they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter before them all, if you, being a Jew, live in the manner of the Gentiles and not as the Jews, why do you compel Gentiles to live as Jews and so forth? You talk about exercising authority forcefully. Here it is. One apostle to another apostle. And he stands up and rebukes him publicly. That is forceful exercise of authority. Or how about the case of John Mark, the young man who defected from the first missionary term, the first missionary journey, and went back home. And when the time came for Paul and Barnabas, who after they returned many, many months later, maybe a couple of years later after this defection, returned home and reported on their first missionary journey, got ready to go on the second one, and Barnabas wanted to take John Mark with him, and Paul didn't. And notice this exercise of apostolic authority. Then after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us now go back and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they are doing." This is Acts 15:36. Now Barnabas was determined to take with him John called Mark, but Paul insisted that they should not take with them the one who had departed from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. Then the contention became so sharp that they parted one from another, and so Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and departed, being commended by the brethren to the grace of God. What in the world is going on there? Well, this is a forceful exercise of apostolic authority. I will not take John Mark. I will not permit him to go along. I am not going to do this. Wow. Or listen to his apostolic authority in the case of the Corinthian church. 1 Corinthians 5:1, it is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you, and sexual immorality is not even named among the Gentiles, that a man should have his father's wife, and you are puffed up, and have not rather mourned that he who has done this deed might be taken away from among you, for I, indeed, as absent in body, but present in spirit, have already judged him who has so done this deed, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together, along with my spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Wow! That's a forceful exercise of authority. Now, what determined the difference? Why was Paul so gentle to the Thessalonians? And so gentle with Philemon, and so forceful with Peter, and with Barnabas, and with the Corinthian church? Well, he tells us why in 1 Corinthians 4:19. But I will come to you shortly, if the Lord wills, and I will know not the word of those who are puffed up, but the power, for the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. What do you want? Shall I come to you with a rod, or in love, and a spirit of gentleness? Paul himself lays out the two possibilities, the two options. Shall I come to you with a rod, or in love, and a spirit of gentleness? He actually asks them to choose. Which way do you want me to come? Because your response to this epistle will determine my attitude toward you, my posture toward you when I come to visit you. Your response to this epistle will determine whether I must come to you with a rod, that is, with the force of exercising my apostolic authority, or with gentleness, where I hold back on the exercise of that authority and come in a spirit of meekness. That's what determined the difference, their attitude. Good leaders do not flaunt their leadership, but good leaders do not abrogate their leadership. Let me say that again. Good leaders do not flaunt their leadership. Think about that husband. Think about that father. Think about that employer. Think about that pastor. Good leaders do not flaunt their leadership, but neither do good leaders abrogate their leadership. We'll talk about it again, Lord willing, next week. Until then, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.